Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of the Scott McKenna Podcast. I'm going to waste no time on this intro. Hope you're doing fantastic, though. Thanks for listening. This was a short conversation I had with a good friend of mine named Charles Hurley. He is a wedding filmmaker based out of Virginia. And just after I wrote my very first article ever for LinkedIn, which if you haven't read, please do. It was all about hiring people and just kind of what it's done for my business. I was so excited to see that a friend of mine who I've been talking to for about a year and a half decided to make his first move and hire his first employee. And it was not because I wrote the article, but because it was in the exact same timing, I figured it'd be cool to just give him a call and talk to him. I didn't tell him anything about what I was going to talk to him about. And I just want to get his thoughts. And I think it'd be valuable for some of you to hear. So let's jump right into it. This is my good friend, Charles Hurley. Charles, it is good to see you, my friend. It's been a while since we've obviously seen each other in person, but it was like cool timing that I literally just had finished like writing my first like LinkedIn article all about like hiring people. And then I saw you decide to make the big, not saying that it came from the article that you decided to do it, but the whole point being, I saw you then announce at the same time that you were going to make your first interviews and everything tomorrow for your first hire. And so I had to just jump on a quick podcast with you and hear a little bit about that decision going into it and give us some context. How's things going?
Things are going well, man. And yeah, I'm nervous. I'm excited, but we'll see how it goes. I'm ready to fail a bit, learn a bit.
It's all part of it.
As you know, I listen to all your stuff. So pleasure to be
awesome.
On here.
It's awesome having you. So Charles and I, to give you a little bit of context, we maybe met, I don't know, a year ago or so or whatever. I forget.
When
you were in New York for a little bit, then we grabbed some coffee at that cool little shop, wherever that place was. And then we've kind of kept in touch since then. And it's been cool to kind of see you obviously doing your thing as well. And now you're in wherever, is it Virginia, right?
Yeah, Richmond, Virginia. When we met, I still had a full-time job in New York. Yep. I had done maybe 4 weddings max. And I was just willing to make the jump that early on. I kind of had a good sense that I was pretty good at it. And while most people might have waited another year and had a full, you know, salary by the time they made that jump, I just knew that I could live on less, get out of my New York City apartment, move back to Virginia for cheaper cost of living, and made that jump pretty much right after.
It is a little cheaper to live in Virginia than New York City.
Oh, my God.
No, it's funny. I always tell people, if you want to have, like, financial freedom, you either just make more or you make your expenses less. And, like, they both feel like the same thing at the end of the day. But that's awesome. So how's that adjustment been? Has it been different going to kind of a new place and kind of keeping your business growing?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Virginia, so it's good to be home, good to be around family. I miss New York, of course. I love New York, but it's been good overall, man. I'm really starting to feel like this is home.
Yeah.
So, you know, after you come and you walk to work every day and you've been here for about 6 months, it's starting to get into the rhythm. And
yeah
man, can't complain.
When you lived there before, though, you didn't do, like, video wasn't your main thing, was it?
No, grew up here, went to college around here, and then pretty much right after college became obsessed with moving to New York after visiting.
Yeah.
And I pretty much spent 8 months just finding anyone who would give me a shot. And I found that person, and I moved up there on pretty much nothing. Lived with an older lady in Brooklyn for a bit in their extra bedroom. It was actually for 2 years. My now wife moved up there with me after she graduated, and you know, we struggled through the New York City life, and then we finally got our own apartment, a little small. I don't even know how many square feet it was, but it was on the 5th floor, no elevator, expensive as hell. And, you know, that expense itself really held me back for a bit. And I think once I realized that, that's what made me want to make the move and move back to Virginia and really free myself up from that.
But you're kind of obviously going back fresh, even though you lived there, you obviously had never done video there. So kind of what's that been like since you got there and you're kind of starting from scratch to a point?
So I guess I started from scratch, but actually what happened was when I decided to start doing weddings, and I had done video in my previous job, I worked in marketing. So, you know, maybe 50% of my job was around creating content. Once I actually ran across the Wedding Film School channel, started getting interested in that and kind of visualizing what that would look like, I reached out to some friends back home that were getting married, you know, really low budget weddings. And you know how that goes. Mm-hmm. It just kind of naturally started growing from there in Virginia. So luckily I kind of planned it that way. We knew that we weren't going to live in New York City forever. And, you know, once we started building a family and everything back in Virginia, we wanted to be near family and all that. So, I kind of did that on purpose. I know it's kind of hard to just create a foundation somewhere like New York and then pick it up and move it into Virginia. So it was all long-term thinking.
All right. So fast forward now to March 2019 here as we're recording it. You're making your first employee hire. What are you looking to do? Talk a little bit about first the thought process of doing that. And because I think that's something that obviously is a big hurdle to get over. It is, like you said, it's a scary thing. It's an exciting thing to a point, but just like anything, anytime you add overhead, you add overhead.
For sure. And I plan to do it in an intelligent way. I'm going to start off part-time. Mm-hmm. We're going to see how it goes. It's going to be hourly. Mm-hmm. But I've actually been really surprised with the talent here in Richmond, Virginia. A lot of people go to school for film and so on and so forth. So once I kind of saw that, I was like, you know what, let me give this a shot. But going back, I think it really comes back to you and I are pretty similar in this of just having a long-term mindset over anything. And fortunately for me, you know, money doesn't necessarily drive me. It's not my main decision maker. So when I look at this, it might, you know, cut back on my lifestyle a bit, but my plan is to build a business, not to just be, you know, a high priced wedding freelancer, wedding videographer freelancer. So I'm willing to make that sacrifice in order to grow something. And from a operations standpoint, I guess what really made me make that jump is I've got to the point now, and I think a lot of wedding videographers face this, where you get, you know, you book someone for say May 28th. And then you have a really good lead come in for, you know, really nice venue. They're awesome. And their wedding's also May 20th. And you pretty much just throw the money out the door and just basic business principles. You know, I got to find a way to fix this. Right. So in my mind, it's not going to happen instantly, but I want to have a team. I want to be able to cover more than one wedding per weekend. And obviously I'm building out the other segments as well, but just wedding specific, I just hate throwing away money when they come knocking, you know? So that'll come later on, but it's really just a long-term mindset, in my opinion, to build a business and not just be a freelancer.
So is your thought you're hiring a shooter or you're hiring an editor?
It'll be a little bit of both, but primarily an editor now because that's where all the workload is.
Okay.
I do have a small little team here in Richmond now that I second shoot with, and they're pretty much available. But I want to build a culture, you know, like these people are freelancers. They're taking gigs left and right. I can't necessarily rely on them 100% of the time to film my weddings. Sometimes they're in Mexico filming some fashion shoot and they're on for 2 weeks. And I just think building a culture and having a team is way more valuable than just outsourcing shooting and editing and transferring files over the internet. I want to work, you know, face to face with people.
Yeah. And like anything, there's unique challenges to that as well that you'll experience, that we all experience, because there's obviously always the back and forth. I think the biggest thing for people to get used to is like the idea of obviously letting certain things go. And, you know, with part-time, there's obviously unique challenges as well. There's less overhead, but there's also sometimes it is difficult to find certain people that really grasp your vision, even though they're not with you all the time, but it's something that you learn through. And it's also, I think the biggest thing that I've learned too, is just the idea that it's not like you're losing control of what you're doing either. It's like, it's not like you're just simply hiring somebody and you're like, okay, well now they're just going to do all their edits or they're going to do all the shooting and I'm not going to do any sort of like, I'm going to have no hands on. Like, it's not like that. When you build a team, you have to be willing to train people.
For sure. And I think that's a huge advantage of mine. We've all seen it with wedding videographers. Like you said, it is tough to let certain things go. But for me, I don't think it's going to be that tough. I'm willing to teach. In fact, I want to let things go. I just don't think I'm going to be able to grow unless I do. And I think the ultimate reward would be finding people who would eventually become way better than me at this stuff, right?
Yep.
I'm not the best editor in the world. I think I can put together a story pretty well compared to others, but there's someone out there who's way better at editing
than me. Yeah, someone that enjoys it more.
Like, For sure. Yeah. Like, you know, I like editing certain things, but when you're on your millionth wedding edit in a row, sometimes I wish you could pass one off. But yeah, I think that's, you know, everyone has a decision of having someone come in and work in person or just remotely. There's a lot of extra costs for me. I have to upgrade my office, which is more than double what I'm paying now. But I think that comes back to what you're saying. I see the advantage of working with people and teaching them in person. And that's much easier to let things go, per se, is when you can actually watch them do it. And you're like, hey, you know what? I would normally do this here. What do you think? As opposed to, you know, you send it off remotely and then, you know, a few weeks later, you get back a rough cut.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much different when you have people in person. And it's also just, I think it's a good mindset to be in, that you obviously might find people that are way better than you are. And it's silly to bring in people that are doing, that do this really well as well, and be like, do it my way or the highway. You may learn a lot of things from it too. And that's what I think the biggest thing that I've kind of learned as well is just let people have certain creative things that might not necessarily be what you would have done. Cause that's part of the greatness of having other people. There's decisions that get made in edits. I still have the ultimate decision, but they'll show me an edit and I'll be like, it's actually way more creative than I would have thought. Like, I wasn't really thinking about that. Great. Like, that's great. But if you have to kind of build the foundation that you're, that it's okay to maybe every once in a while try something different and bring it to you, because it also doesn't help their creativity and their excitement if they feel like all they're really doing is editing your story the entire time. Like, they need to feel like they can do some creative, fun things too.
Yeah. And I'm glad I have the perspective of what it's like to work a 9 to 5 did in New York. And my boss there, credit to him, gave me a ton of creative freedom. It was pretty much, you know, he didn't have anything to say in terms of editing or what the video should look like. He would just give me a message and say, like, do something. And I know how good that feels to be an employee and pretty much not just have to follow the regimen of, like, we always do things this way. So I think it's helpful to kind of have that other side of the equation when you're making your first hire.
We'll see. For sure. And like anything, you're obviously going to have certain things that are your style, your company's style, but they don't necessarily always have to be either. And you might evolve the style. You'll evolve the style into something that changes because, hey, this person actually does this style edit really good. And that's actually not something I normally did. And it's really, really cool for that.
Yeah. I mean, my second shooter that I've mainly been working with here in Richmond, he's edited one or two weddings for me. But going back to what you said about you might learn a few things, when he's on a shoot with me the first few times, he would do things a little different. And I might not do exactly what he did, but it kind of sparked something in me to be like, you know what, now I'm going to try this. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to check out this angle. And I feel like it's going to be the same thing for editing.
Yep, absolutely. No, I think it's really good. And even just the way people edit, you sometimes learn from. Like, I mean, I definitely am a pretty very fast, efficient editor for sure. I think it's I don't always learn a lot of tricks from people the way that they hit keys and things, because I am pretty fast in that, but I've definitely learned different ways of, like, oh, that's an interesting way to cut it, rather than the way that I would have maybe started with this or started with that. There's always things we can learn, and I think, and you'll also just find that there's so much to learn about, like, being a boss, and that just the importance of, or just how different that actually is. But it's fun. I just think it's so much more fun to work with people. Like, it's just fun to watch them grow. It's fun to watch what your company can grow to when you allow more people to be a part of it. It's just like, it's definitely an exciting thing. So how many weddings will you do in 2019?
So in 2019, I plan on doing around 22 to 25.
Okay, awesome.
And then I have a fair amount of corporate work too. It's funny, actually, my old boss is a client of mine
awesome.
Now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's turned into a pretty big client. He does a lot of YouTube content, and he's has an online course and stuff like that. And when I go and shoot for him, you know, sometimes we'll be gone an entire week. Mm-hmm. And then in my mind, the business has just stopped for a week. Like, all the operations, all the stuff that needs to be happening, the editing, you know, I keep up with emails, but, like, nothing's happened. And so that's one of the main reasons I want an employee. But you know my numbers. They're not necessarily what people might think is, you know, ready to hire. But going back to money's not my biggest motivator, that's kind of how I've always rolled. Like, when I took a job in New York City for very little pay, I saw the benefit of working with this guy and being in New York and making connections, and I took it. You know, once I did a few weddings and I saw that people liked it and there was a good reaction, and I was getting a lot of inquiries, I didn't wait to have a ton of cash on hand. I made the jump because I knew I could lessen my lifestyle, which I've always done. And then same with hiring this employee, man. Like, my wife's very supportive, and I'll tell her, like, look, last year we lived fairly comfortably. with me starting my business. I didn't think we would, but we live fairly comfortably and I'm ready to make myself a little more uncomfortable again, hire an employee, and, you know, might mean less, you know, going to Florida to visit friends or going to wherever to visit whoever. But in the long term, it's going to pay off tremendously if I do it.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is I think that it's like you said, the lifestyle that you can get back from just like simply getting back certain time is going to be a huge thing for you, because, you know, it's one of the best parts about obviously having more people do stuff is that you can breathe a little bit every once in a while if and things are still getting done, because it's definitely hard. Yeah. When you randomly are traveling for a week or something, or traveling to random places and knowing that there's nobody working, that's not a good feeling, because your clients, like, they don't care about your trip to New York. They care about getting their video done. And the best way to lose clients is to have things sit around and sit around and sit around. Like, what people don't realize that, like, in a wedding business, it's one thing to have, like, you know, 2 to 3 month turnaround or 6 month turnaround or something insane. We made ours extremely fast, but like weddings are one thing. Commercial work's different. You don't find clients that want to wait 3 months for a video. Like, that you need to get things done. Exactly. You need to get things done. And that's where I realized I needed the most growth too, was just in that side of things. But it's definitely a fun thing, and it's exciting to kind of see you doing that. What's been kind of your, if you had one tip for somebody that's kind of maybe in your shoes or a little bit before your shoes, what is kind of one big thing that you've learned or that has kind of helped you grow kind of even to the point of obviously hiring somebody or making that decision? Any tips you have? I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
Know why you're doing it, I guess, would be mm-hmm. my biggest tip. That's something mm-hmm. I learned from my former bosses. Why you're doing things is very important. Be intentional about everything you do. And like I said, for me, I know very well that I'm not necessarily doing this for the money. Of course, mm-hmm. I need money, mm-hmm. But I'm doing this because I want to build a business. I want to grow people. And for that reason, I'm willing to sacrifice things. Some people are all about the money. Maybe this isn't the best decision for you right. if you need a lot of money in right. the short term. I think just know why you're doing things. And that's totally fine, by the way. But just know why, be intentional. And I think that will always turn out to be the best. Don't do things just because you think you should do them.
Especially when you're hiring an employee, a lot of people reach out to me and ask, like, you know, what financial situation should you be at when you're ready to make the decision? Like, there's no right answer. It all depends on, like, there's some people that would say be at $150,000. There's other people that would be like, as long as I had 60 or 50 or 40, it's more about, like you said, understanding, like, what do you really want your life to look like? There are people that aren't driven by money, like you said. There are people that aren't driven by, like, needing to drive fancy cars or go on vacations. And their ideal situation is, like, I just need enough to live and then just enjoy myself. There are other people that wouldn't hire until they make $500,000 because they just can't get over letting anything go. There's not, like, a correct time, like, you should hire. It's kind of just this natural gut feeling I feel like you eventually get to, that you're like, Something's got to change one way or another. I either need to get some time back, or I need to do something. And once you get that feeling, it's just, you always can, obviously it's tough letting people down, like hiring people and being like, hey, this isn't working. I can't afford it. But at the same time, it's also part of business. If you make the terrible decision to hire someone tomorrow and it doesn't work out in 6 months, it is what it is too.
Like, it's not. Like, when I moved to New York, what I told myself, my whole family thought it was crazy. I was like, look, if it doesn't work, I'll move back.
Yeah, exactly. You always can.
Knowing what your audience is, because I'm part of your audience, I could throw out some numbers if you're okay with, not necessarily.
Dude, totally. I think that would be really resourceful for people.
I mean, so I've wanted to hire an employee for so long, and pretty much it's as simple as this. One of my clients, he pays me about $500 a week to edit 3 YouTube videos and upload them. That I plan on making that my budget per week for my employee. And I didn't necessarily have the cash on hand to feel necessarily comfortable about it. And I got a really big gig. It was $15,000, which is huge for me. And he paid it all. And I said, you know what? I'm not touching this money. It's not going into my bank account. I'm putting it aside for an employee.
Awesome decision.
I think a lot of people aren't willing to do that, right? They might go buy something else, and just not needing things has been tremendously helpful for me. Like, I don't care putting all of that aside.
And that's a great, yeah, it's a great way to be.
Right. So maybe, you know, if someone's wondering, try to have consistent income, try to find a gig that gives you consistent income that you're willing to completely let go. And then all it takes is kind of one big project to set aside a whole salary.
Yep.
And then you feel a lot more comfortable about it.
Yeah. And it all comes down to you making the decision to actually put that money aside and not go on a vacation or buy a new camera or do something else. It's about saying, hey, and that's a great way to do it, because then you also, you'll naturally grow because you have more people helping you. But more importantly, you're not feeling like you're dying. Like if you put $15,000 aside and you're essentially budgeting $2,000 a month for that editor or that next person bringing on, you already have half a year of their salary paid, which is super helpful, because realistically, when you hire somebody, you it's only temporarily. I mean, if you obviously run your business well, it's only a temporary little valley before you grow like crazy the other direction. And if you can be smart enough to do what you said, and like if you have consistent income coming in and then suddenly a big boost comes, put it smartly into somebody. And yeah, that's a great, great way to be. Because then you're not worrying about it as much.
Yeah. And I get that $500 a week just for three videos. And in my mind, you can do that. I can do it anyway, currently in one day.
Right.
They'll probably take a day and a half, 2 days. Mm-hmm. And then the other 3 days of the week, I'm essentially profiting in my mind.
Yep.
You're doing work that has already been paid for and I'm profiting now.
Right.
So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of what got me to that decision.
Yeah, and it will allow you to take on a lot of other type of things that are similar to that. There's lots of those random different opportunities that right now, well, maybe it wouldn't be possible to do six videos a week. But if one guy's doing three and another guy's doing three and you're still making the same money, you can grow, or you can scale that very easily and not feel like you're always kind of up against the ropes.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, taking that and reverse engineering it, saying like, all right, this is the max I can afford. I know that right now. Who would be willing to take this?
Yep. So
when I'm looking at applications right now, I'm looking for people kind of similar to me that, you know, they didn't go to school for this necessarily. Their job is something completely different. It might be part-time, might be whatever, but I can see they have a lot of natural talent. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of, am I willing to teach them? And I am. I'm willing to put in the time, let them fail, let them mess up. Maybe I have to re-edit the entire video. Mm-hmm. But that's my only option right now. I can't afford it. I can't afford a, you know, 7-year experienced editor and pay him full time.
Yep.
So I have to do with what I'm dealt.
Yeah.
And actually that excites me more than anything is finding someone who's looking for their first opportunity to kind of get into this stuff that's naturally talented.
Yep. And if they're someone that wants to learn, people can go a long way if they want to learn. And if you're willing to teach and someone's willing to learn, good things can happen. It sometimes makes it really tough when you actually hire someone with a lot of experience, because they sometimes don't want to learn because they're like, I already know what I'm doing.
Right.
That's really,
you know,
really
honestly,
cool.
I might be that way if someone hired me.
And that's how a lot of people are. When you have experience and you know what you're doing to a point, it's hard for anyone to tell you. So sometimes it's the best finding somebody that, I mean, when I first brought Pablo on 2 years ago, like he barely did video at all. And now he's a great shooter and a great editor, and he's just super creative. But he was super willing to learn, and I was super willing to be like, hey, I like this. I like Pablo as a person more than I need his current skill sets. And he wants to learn how to do certain things, and he's just been outstanding with that kind of stuff. And that's the best people you can find are the ones that want to learn. Well, that's really, really cool, man. I'm super pumped for you. I wanted to at least let you come on and talk for a little bit, because I know that your story will be encouraging to more people, because it's something we go through. Being a freelancer, an entrepreneur, a boss is a lonely thing sometimes. And sometimes people in their basement right now, maybe listening to this podcast, are feeling like, man, I wish I could hire an employer. I wish I could get to the next level. And hopefully this was a little bit encouraging to them that everyone's doing it. It's just a matter of, it's a slow, you're not an impatient person, and that's the key. You have to be patient in this industry. It's not just a next day everything's going to happen.
Any interview tips for me?
Interview tips, man. I like hiring, especially in your situation where you're more about trying to find someone that wants to learn and that's not experienced. I would judge it by the person. Like, find someone that you just have a good conversation with, and that you're like, man, I feel like even if you have no experience, you are someone that I can teach, because in that price, like that's not a terrible price point anyway, but more importantly, it's a price point that you're paying enough that you can ask for certain things, expectations, but at the same time, you will find a lot of people that are just hungry to want to do it. And especially in an editing field, it may take a little bit more time to get someone to the speed of how you edit. but it takes someone way longer to actually become like a nice person. And if they're not, and if they're not a good person to work with, it doesn't matter how skilled they are, you won't like it. And you, the last thing you want is knowing your editor is showing up today and he's like a miserable person. That's just, that's not fun for anybody. So I say just like hire people for people, and you can train people to do certain things, but you can't train someone to be kind or that's good to work with if they're just naturally not a good person to work with.
Agreed, man.
So I think just go hard after that and you'll have a good time. Well, it's sweet, man. I'm pumped for you. I'll be hopefully in Virginia sometime again soon. I was just in DC, but I wasn't close enough to you to give you a call. But maybe next time I'm out in your area, we'll have to grab coffee again.
For sure. I'm looking forward to it, Scott.
Sweet, man. Well, good luck to you. It's exciting. We'll try maybe have you back on in 6 months or something like that. And you can be like, okay, well, here's your first 6 months of this. How's it been going now?
I'll be honest about it. We'll see.
That's awesome. All right, man. Congrats. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being on.